It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United Soccer is brought to you by Equifax, The Home Depot, Mercedes-Benz, AT&T, Publix, Scana, Kauffman Tire, Lunazol, La Perea, Piedmont Healthcare, Heineken, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and Associated Credit Union.
The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is lit in the supporter section. Tens of thousands of people remain here as Atlanta United, many of their players have still not walked off the pitch as they applaud their supporters. 70,526, an MLS postseason record tonight. And there will be another home game in 2018. It'll be the Eastern Conference Final, either leg one or leg two, because Atlanta United beat New York City tonight 3-1, 4-1 on aggregate.
You think our new friend Waka Flocka is okay?
Oh, Waka is very lit right now.
I hope Waka's in the middle of the supporter section.
Waka, who, if you didn't see it, joined us on the AT&T countdown to kickoff. And I strongly urge all of you to go to the Atlanta United Facebook page. Waka had some very insightful remarks about this match tonight. And who did Waka say would be the difference maker tonight for Atlanta United? Miguel Almiron. Boy, was he a difference maker tonight, scoring in the 42nd minute, drawing fouls, incredible work rate, a very gutsy performance. It's going to be hard to pick one man of the match tonight, but Almiron giving you, quite frankly, I mean, he played 84 minutes. That's about 24 more than I expected. Gutsy effort.
I thought he could go as long as you needed tonight. If you didn't have the lead, if you didn't have that comfort level, I think he could have seen it out. I think his guts and heart would have carried him through because he was effective all the way through tonight. He was effective at the end. When you could tell he was feeling it a little bit, he was still chasing things down and making things happen.
Well, Almiron with the goal, 3 shots, 2 on target. Passed at 75%, that's a little below his standard, created a chance. How about winning 3 tackles and drawing 4 fouls, a team high, drawing 4 fouls? Like I said, I think very, very difficult to assign Heineken man of the match to one player tonight. You could make a case for Miles Robinson. Darlington Nagby was the stadium man of the match. Franco Escobar, I thought, played extremely well. Joseph had 2 goals. I mean, 2 goals in a playoff match makes it very hard to deny him Heineken Man of the Match honors. Where do you see this tonight?
This is a tough one. This is a very tough one, but my gut at the final whistle was Franco Escobar. And I know people will argue that one, but again, I think it's a tough one. I think you could go about 5-6 different directions here. Rometty as well. Rometty had with another strong performance from him. Completely took Maxi Morales out of the game. But I think Escobar was the guy because it was his run that won the first penalty kick that changed everything tonight. Because Atlanta getting the first goal completely changed the scope of this match for New York City. They had to open up more. That was going to create more opportunities for Atlanta. And Escobar, able to make that run, cut back, earn the penalty on top of great defensive work again from him. And Franco Escobar is my man of the match.
Very, very hard to disagree with that. And I think Escobar, the story of the year, really all season for Atlanta United, Jason, we knew they would score a lot of goals. First in MLS in goals scored in the regular year. I don't think anyone, including Darren Eales, would have anticipated when this season began that Atlanta United would finish the year 5th in goals allowed. That's 5th best. And the way the back line has played all year, LGP and Parkhurst, both top 4 in Defender of the Year. McCann has a role in this, obviously. Miles Robinson has a less of a role, but a role. Mikey Ambrose, obviously. Garza when he was healthy. But Escobar is part of that picture. The surprise strength of this Atlanta United club in 2018 has been the back line.
Escobar tonight, 6 tackles, 1 3 fouls himself. Franco Escobar has been a bit of a revelation for this team. Coming in, getting some time with Newell's Old Boys, but not a lockdown starter in Argentina. Came here, you wondered if maybe he was one that would take a year to settle in and be one maybe a little for the future. Franco Escobar has made it difficult to take him off the field in the postseason.
Okay, couple housekeeping items here as we get started on the full-time report. And I want to repeat again, we are going all the way to 9 o'clock tonight, the start of Hawks basketball, the Hawks at the L.A. Lakers tonight. Andy Bunker will come on at 9 p.m. with the pregame show, Steve Holman at 9:30. So we are on with you until then. That means we're going to have plenty of time to break down what happened here tonight, assess what's going on with Columbus, New York Red Bulls. That match will start momentarily. It's going to be shown on the Halo board. If you're still here in the stadium, might not be a bad idea to stick around and watch some of that. We're going to assess all of that. We're going to have plenty of time to take your feedback and your questions on Twitter. So get at us right now at MikeConti929, at Longshoe, and at ATLSoccer929. We will speak momentarily to Miles Robinson down in the Atlanta United dressing room. The club was very, very slow to get off the pitch tonight. They wanted to pay tribute to the fans here, as you will understand. We'll have that. We'll have the highlights, the stats, everything you would expect in the full-time report. Another one bites the dust. I guess we'll go to break on that, huh?
Sounds good.
Okay. So coming up, we'll hear from Miles Robinson, and we'll have the highlights and the statistics. Atlanta United going through to the Eastern Conference Final. Nothing's going to stop us now. 3-1 over New York City on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be hearing this for two more weeks at least. The unofficial postseason theme song for Atlanta United. Stress again, unofficial. Nothing's going to stop us now by Starship. Can't wait to see the next Jay Riddle video. He had a great music video after last Sunday's win up in Yankee Stadium. I have a feeling we're going to get a little more ammo from Jay tonight because he's got a lot of goals to pick from tonight. 3-1 Atlanta United over New York City, and Atlanta United is now through to the Eastern Conference Final. Miles Robinson will join us in a moment. Let's talk about what is unfolding in front of us right now here at the Benz. Up on the Halo board, they are showing the start of the Columbus Crew-New York Red Bulls match. Are we all in agreement that the preferred opponent for New York City in the Conference Final, you're going to play someone, and you feel good about the way you're playing right now, but we would agree Columbus would provide the better matchup.
Oh, easily, because Atlanta has handled Columbus extremely well and never lost to them.
5-1 on aggregate this year, only one goal in the run of play for Columbus Crew. Columbus will go through with a win or a draw. New York Red Bulls with a 2-plus goal win will go through. If it's 1-0, they will go to extra time. Red Bulls would have to win 1-0.
Last time these two teams played at Red Bull Arena, Columbus took a 3-0 first half lead.
Yeah, Columbus has been the kryptonite to Red Bulls this year. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Again, we will be on the air until 9 o'clock with a full-time report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's go down to the dressing room now. Miles Robinson, who played brilliantly tonight, a full 90 minutes, won three tackles, gave only one foul. I thought when he had his moments on David Villa tonight, he responded to that very well. Miles, congratulations and welcome to the Eastern Conference Final. You played a heck of a match.
Thanks, bro. Means a lot.
Well, you're the first ever super draft pick for Atlanta United, so you're a big part of the foundation of this club. I'm wondering, when did you find out you would get the start, and what was your reaction to the news?
Earlier this week, I was training with the first team, like the starters, and obviously, I was very excited. I was happy I could get a chance to play out there, especially on a big stage like this.
Well, it was a huge stage. And David Villa is still one of the best players in this league, not quite in the same form he was in 2010 with Spain at the World Cup. But when you had your moments on Villa, I thought you did phenomenally well. Is that a challenge that you look forward to?
Definitely. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I'm always, like, looking up at the big-time forwards in the world and wondering if I can defend them. And I was definitely happy I could, you know, show my strength against David Villa tonight.
Biggest game of your professional career up to this point, Miles. How do you feel afterwards? Did it feel different tonight?
Obviously, I had a little maybe some butterflies earlier on, but it felt normally, I think it felt the same. When it comes down to it, it's just another soccer game, and I'm happy we got the win tonight.
So let's talk about the butterflies a little bit, because I had the privilege of calling the end of the Atlanta United 2 season and watching you, you know, just grow in confidence. How much did that process, playing those games consistently, how much did that help you tonight?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's always beneficial to have games on the second team where you can stay fit, stay sharp, and stay focused on the goal, which is obviously to eventually play for the first team in moments like this. So that was definitely helpful.
So you guys jump out to the 2-0 lead, and then right before halftime, kind of a broken play where Chanel is on the end of a bouncing ball. He sends it past Brad. Suddenly it's 2-1, and it felt like New York City for maybe the first 20 minutes of the second half were really on the front foot. How did you guys respond so well to that and come back, get that third goal, and put it away? Because it felt tense up here from our vantage point.
Yeah, it was definitely tense in the second half, but we stuck to our formation, and we were solid in defense, and they didn't have any great opportunities, I thought, in the second half. And once Joseph scored that third goal, it put it away.
What was the message from Tata Martino and the leaders, the veterans of this squad at halftime after conceding that goal?
Just stay with the same intensity we've been playing with in the first game of the series and then the first half. The fact that we were playing so hard out there obviously is beneficial to us, and it was great.
There were moments of chippiness in the match. It felt like New York City really took it upon themselves early to try to set a physical tone, fouling a lot. And I thought you guys did a remarkable job of keeping cool heads throughout the match. Was that a message delivered to you at any point during the week by Tata or a member of the technical staff?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's always saying stay calm, stay relaxed, but stay focused and in tune to the game. And I think that's what not only me but the whole guys did tonight.
All right, Columbus and Red Bulls are playing right now. They're scoreless in the fourth minute. I know you aren't going to tell me who you would like to face, but are you at least going to try to get to a television and watch this?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe after I hit the shower, I'll check it out.
Thanks for talking to us before you shower. We appreciate that. And you're going to get a week off now. What's your plan for your week off? Are you going to try to get some R&R, or are you going to stay in town?
I mean, we'll definitely come in and still train every day, but just getting better, you know, every session to try to keep this run going.
Miles, you made 71,000 people here and hundreds of thousands more in the state of Georgia very, very happy tonight. Congratulations, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, man. It means a lot.
All right. Miles Robinson, 20-year-old from Arlington, Mass., played a full 90 tonight with Jeff Lorenowitz out injured. Lorenowitz was kept out of the 18. And I want to go back to, we were talking off the air about maybe the best two-match run that Atlanta United has had this year. I think it's this. We've talked about a few others. One of those runs was capped off by that 5-0 win over LAFC the week after they got the 1-0 win at Minnesota playing with 10 men. Miles Robinson started that match and played extremely well, showed he was up to the challenge. This was his best MLS match of his career, in my opinion.
Not even close. And let's talk about that. So Robinson steps in that one after playing a handful of games in USL at the beginning of the season. Good performance against LAFC when Atlanta just completely overwhelmed the black and gold, and they really had no answer. I think Robinson, anybody else could have played that center back spot that day. Robinson had a couple moments as the season went on where he struggled a bit, as young players do. A lot of people will talk about the Dallas game where there was a little bit of indecision from him when he came into that match. The time with Atlanta United 2, and I cannot stress it enough, and these two teams are a perfect conversation starter for it. New York City FC has talked about wanting to wait 2-3 more years maybe until they launch a USL team. Atlanta United launched a USL team in year 2, put down the money it takes to do that,
upgraded staff, found a place to play, hired more people to run that team. And what you've gotten out of that team this year is Andrew Carlton growing in confidence as a young professional.
Yep.
George Bello getting you valuable minutes with the first team and scoring a goal. And Miles Robinson with a performance like that tonight.
And I think a lot of people have been dwelling on ATL UTD2's win-loss record and maybe assessing their season based only on that. But as you have repeatedly said, it's not about wins and losses necessarily with the second team. It's about getting players that kind of seasoning.
It's those three. Those three guys are the ones who have benefited the most, and it was worth every dollar spent on that team. That's not even talking about your Mikey Ambroses, your Kevin Kratzes, who were able to stay sharp and get minutes with the second team.
Even a guy like Alec Cann, who then had to come up to the first team and get you a win in Orlando all the way back in May. Wherever Scott Donnelly is tonight, he might still be here in the building, might be down in the dressing room.
Cheers to you, Scott.
We'll toast you with the Heineken, Scott, because you did very, very good work. All right, we have the highlights. We have the statistics. I think first, though, let's pause, if we can, 10 seconds for station identification.
The Atlanta United play here.
WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Played up to Gressel, who clears it down the left wing to Almarin, who gets on it at the halfway line, and then is clipped down hard by Chanel at the halfway line. Mark Geiger and shows a yellow card, but that should be a red. A very, very, very dirty play by Maxime Chanel, who appeared to kick Almarin in the groin to break up a breakaway. And now we're going to have a discussion here involving Mark Geiger and LGP. Okay, well, that was not the penalty, and Chanel did not kick Almarin in the groin. I think we can say that now after seeing a couple replays. It was a very, very rough challenge, not a red as I thought it was live. Now, let's just take your amnesia pill. 3, 2, 1. In the 25th minute, Franco Escobar drew a penalty for Atlanta United. Here's Gressel at the top of the 18. Off to Nagby. Nagby driving it through to Escobar at the end line and his cross. Oh, he's knocked down to the box. Geiger calls a penalty. By the way, Mark Geiger was pretty good tonight.
Mark Geiger is outstanding tonight. Absolutely outstanding. Your two World Cup referees, Jair Marufo and Mark Geiger, have both had great weeks in the playoffs.
We were thinking that would be a storyline tonight. It was a storyline against New York City because Geiger correctly awards the penalty, and in the 25th minute, it's Joseph Martinez going to the penalty spot for the 10th time this year. 72,000 supporters standing. Joseph looking for the opening goal of this match. Hands on hips at the top of the box. Steps to the left, up to the ball, strikes it, and scores! Minute, the 32nd goal of the year for the Golden Boot winner. Boy, that crowd reaction, by the way, this crowd was engaged and intense all night. So Joseph giving Atlanta United the early 1-0 lead, a classic penalty take for him. Jared Smith of Soccer Down here in 92.9 The Game, I think, has accurately described it as Fred Flintstone bowling, where he takes kind of that stutter step up to the ball and then strikes it. And I feel like for the last five or six converted penalties now for Joseph, it hasn't been with power. He gets the goalkeeper leaning with that stutter step, and then he just pushes it to the other side.
It just shows for Joseph, and we saw it again later in the match, how he is able to maintain composure in that moment and just let everything else happen around him.
So that gave Atlanta United the 1-0 lead, and Atlanta United kept their foot on the gas, not playing conservatively, knowing they needed only a draw tonight to move on to the Eastern Conference Final. 17 minutes later, it was Miguel Almarin doubling the lead for Atlanta United. Joseph to the left of the ball, Almarin to the right. It's Almarin going for goal! Score! Has a trip to the Eastern Conference Final by the collar. That is only the third direct free kick goal of the year for Atlanta United, and the first one not scored by someone named Kevin Kratz. But what a beautiful strike into the left upper 90 for Miguel Almaro.
He's the second player in Atlanta United club history, because last year there were no goals directly from a free kick. And Almaro here, after earning the free kick, puts it away.
So Atlanta United with that two-goal lead, feeling very, very confident that they're going through to the Eastern Conference Final, well-positioned just before halftime. But in the 45th minute, a broken play, the ball finds its way to Maxime Cheneau, and suddenly it's a 2-1 match. And it's Villa up to the ball, and he'll go for goal, but it's deflected, and then it bounces in off of Cheneau. And New York City gets one back right before halftime. And we thought that was potentially a very, very big goal for New York City. Now, remember, they needed a win tonight to move through, so they would have needed two goals in the second half, but we thought that would give them life. And you have to give New York City credit, because in the first 30 minutes, maybe not 30, 20 minutes of the second half, coming off that goal by Cheneau, it really looked like they were going to get the equalizer.
They did. I mean, they threw everything they had into it to open the second half. That's where you can flip the momentum. You get one there. You still needed another one, but then it's a completely different second half. Atlanta United was on the ropes a little bit, but what was impressive was the way they were able to take that step off the ropes, regain it, and get control of the game and put this series away.
And with New York City really attacking, we thought they would be vulnerable to counters, and indeed Atlanta United did hit them on a counter in the 83rd minute. Eric Rometty finding Joseph Martinez for the backbreaker. Rometty pitches it ahead to Joseph, who chests it down, walks in, takes a shot, scores! If it stands, it's over. The flag stayed down. It's 3-1. Atlanta United about to go through to the Eastern Conference Final. I'm not sure if the VAR, Dave Ganter, even made a check of it, because the first replay we saw showed Joseph clearly on, and Atlanta United was able to play out the final 12 minutes from there and get the 3-1 victory. But we came into the match today thinking if Joseph scores twice, there's no hope for New York City, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it wasn't even close about being offside there. It's a beautiful chip by Rometty. Joseph takes it down off the chest, gets Johnson leaning, and then kind of slices it with the outside of the foot to beat him to the opposite side.
So Atlanta United now 2-0-0 on the postseason. That is their 23rd win of the year, if you want to count victories in the regular year. Atlanta United has still not lost a playoff match in their two-year history. I know. Calm down. Yes, they did not go through against Columbus, but that is not a loss. That is counted as a draw, with Columbus winning on penalties. So Atlanta United will go to the Eastern Conference Final, still having never lost a playoff game. Who they will play remains a mystery. They're in the 16th minute at Red Bull Arena. Scoreless between Columbus and New York Red Bulls. Final statistics for the match. Atlanta United only had 31% possession. Didn't matter, though. And not surprising, because New York City was so desperate in the second half. So 69-31, the final possession. 10 shots for each club. 4 shots on target for each club. Atlanta United with only 2 corners. They committed 16 fouls. New York City with only 3 corners. They committed 20 fouls. Atlanta United passed at only 68%. I mean, these are generally not winning numbers for Atlanta United, but it's a little bit distorted because Atlanta United scored on a penalty, a set piece, and a counter, basically.
Yeah, it's completely distorted because you come in 1-0 lead, so you're not having to play on the front foot to begin with. Then you get a goal in the first half to where it's a completely different situation anyway. So, yeah, you didn't have to carry the play. You're able to sit back. Your passing numbers are down because a lot of clearances, a lot of long balls that are low percentage. Atlanta United did what they had to do. And a match like this shows how hard it is to quantify how 180 minutes play out through stats.
Well, and isn't it also kind of a testament to stats don't tell the whole story. New York Red Bulls have scored, by the way. Red Bulls have scored.
That series is even now. Yep. Aaron Long with a great finish.
I think it was Royer who teed him up, right?
And yes.
Zach Steffen is complaining to the referee, Alan Chapman, but it's a good goal.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything there. It's a good finish. You're early in the first half, and that series is completely even at 1-1.
So if that score holds, it will go to extra time. If Columbus is to score, they go back out in front on aggregate, and they get the road goal. This is why we were saying Red Bulls likely need to win by two goals tonight, but they have a 1-0 lead in the 17th minute. I don't think there's any doubt, as you listen to us tonight, you want to play Columbus Crew if you're Atlanta United for no other reason than you beat them 5-1 on aggregate this year in two matches. You dominated them here. You played very well up in Columbus. We know what happened against Red Bulls this year. This is a point we'll get to a little later on as we take Twitter questions, though. I think Atlanta United, the form that they are in right now with another week to prepare, look, if you have to play Red Bulls, you have to play them.
Absolutely.
If you're scared, get a dog. You know, I mean, that. Yep. If you want to be the best, you're going to have to beat the best.
Absolutely, and these have been the two best teams, not even just in 2018, but in league history. Atlanta and the New York Red Bulls set marks that we might not see happen again. If that's what it comes down to in the Eastern Conference, kind of the way it would have been written.
So Aaron Long from, I'm assuming they gave Daniel Royer the assist, 1-0 New York Red Bulls. Now in the 19th minute at Red Bull Arena, we will keep an eye on that one. If you're still here in the stadium, you are allowed to stay here and watch that match on the Halo board. They're showing it right now. We will keep you posted. We're also going to take another break. When we come back, we will get to your feedback on Twitter and your questions. Tweet us right now at MikeConti929, at Longshoe, and at ATLSoccer929. Oren Romain on the music, Jimmy Vance, our producer, Eric Davis, our engineer. More in a moment from the Benz as Atlanta United goes through 3-1 over New York City on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Producer Oren Romain, I think the champagne was not put on ice for Atlanta United tonight. This is a very business-like approach right now. They're through to the conference final. Still a long way to go. They've got to get through three more matches to be MLS Cup champions. But we know now Atlanta United will play a third and a fourth playoff match after their 3-1 win over New York City tonight. There are some MLS clubs that have never even made the playoffs. And Atlanta United, in its second year, 69 points in the regular year, goes to the Eastern Conference Final. Everything that happened in Toronto aside, everything with Red Bulls aside, that they got 71 points, that is an incredibly remarkable achievement for a second-year club.
Atlanta United's been to the playoffs in each season of its existence, and a certain team from Central Florida that accidentally had a player pick up his option year because you played him too many times. Mm-hmm. Has never been to the playoffs.
Well, but the Tampa Bay Rowdies do have a very illustrious history from the 1970s and early 80s, so I'm not quite sure that shot at the Rowdies is very fair. And I think with the Tampa Bay Rays coming in to own that club, you're probably right. I don't know of any other professional soccer teams in Central Florida of which you speak. All right, let's go to Twitter, our comments, and thank you, and keep sending them. We've got a long way to go here on the full-time report, going all the way to 9 o'clock when the Hawks will take over at L.A. against the Lakers. Let's start with this. David Franklin, this is a really important tweet. It's Veterans Day today. Thank you so much to all of you listening who have served for your service. I know they did a toast down at Molly B's at halftime with all active duty military and veterans in attendance. And we certainly want to salute you because there is no way we would be able to enjoy this match, this drama of sport in the free country in which we live, without the work that you do for us and the sacrifices that you make. So thank you very much. And that's leading me to David Franklin's tweet, who says, if you could give a shout-out to the USS Wyoming out of Kings Bay, Georgia, and the USS Jimmy Carter out of Bangor, Washington. The engineering crew said they'd listen to you all tonight. Some old submarine shipmates, Veterans Day stuff. That is about the most honored I think I have ever been in a tweet mention. I'm remarkably honored that those of you down in Kings Bay and up in Washington State were listening to us tonight on board your ships.
Hopefully y'all enjoyed it.
We did. I know that. And For those of you down in Kings Bay, hopefully I'll be getting to Amelia Island fairly soon because could use a break. Now, David also had another question. He said when New York City came out with numbers in the midfield in the second half, looked like a 4-1-4-1 to him, looked like it was a 4-1-4-1 to you as well. He wants to know, why didn't Tata reshape the formation? He says he guess it worked out, but it seems like you would want to match the numbers.
He didn't have to, because what he did is your two outside backs, Franco Escobar and Greg Garza, sat deeper to play a true line of five rather than the 3-5-2 with the wing backs. It was more of a five-man back line, and then a line of three in front of them that was very compact, very close together, completely in sync with Almiron and Martinez up top. Rometty was free in the middle of the three-man midfield to kind of chase and go take some chances. Nagby off to the right side, Gressel off to the left. That was how they handled the 4-1-4-1. The other side of it was Maxi Morales dropped out of the 4-1-4-1 to go try to find the ball, and he never really did. He got a little impatient.
I want to redirect our conversation for a moment to this Columbus Red Bulls match, which is now in the 30th minute. Red Bulls leading 1-0. Columbus looks like they're holding on for dear life to get to halftime right now. It has been all Red Bulls in the first half up there.
It has, but Columbus right now, that's kind of your situation, is you've got to get to halftime at 1-0, 1-1 on aggregate, and regroup a bit. New York is really starting to throw numbers forward, but as we talked about all day, the Red Bulls don't really do as well when they control possession, when they have to create chances, not off of set pieces, not off of turnovers. They struggle a little bit. So Columbus can ride this out and get to the halftime whistle and make some adjustments. That would be the best situation for the crew.
And that's kind of how we're rolling right now on the full-time report, keeping one eye on what happened here at the Benz with Atlanta United winning 3-1, and one eye on what's going on at Red Bull Arena, because this will determine the conference final opponent for Atlanta United. If this score were to somehow hold with a full hour still to play, Red Bulls and Columbus Crew would go to extra time.
What's wild to me is how many people are hanging out in the Benz on a Sunday night watching this game on the Halo board and next to Molly B's.
Now, it really is something how more people are here in this building right now to watch another match on the video screen than would show up on a Wednesday night at Foxborough Stadium. It really is a remarkable testament to Atlanta United and how soccer passionate we are here in Atlanta. Couple tweets about Miles Robinson. Drew Gannot says, loved Guzan going to bat for Robinson. What a fantastic night. What a leader for Guzan. Nothing Brad could have done on the goal, by the way. It does break up an interesting streak for Brad, as his career playoff shutout streak was approaching, I think, 400 minutes. It dates all the way back to when he was with Chivas back in 2007. That streak comes to an end tonight. Still a top five streak of all time. But other than the goal, on which Brad could do nothing about, made a couple smart catches and made two very big saves in this match as well.
If I had something, I would pour out a little bit for Chivas USA, who are no longer with us. But Brad Guzan, yes, started his career there. He did get to, I believe, yes, he did cross the 400-minute mark of shutout minutes in postseason play.
And then John Sosby says, Miles played awesome tonight, strong and smart. His future is bright.
When we saw Miles Robinson in the starting lineup, I honestly was not that concerned, because I had the chance to watch him with ATL UTD2 down the stretch, and I thought he was that team's best player in a great run of results at the very end of the season, playing in a 3-5-2 either as a right center back or at times as the center back organizing the back line. He didn't have to do that tonight, but that experience of being the one in charge of the back line, playing in the Michael Parkhurst role, it helped him a lot tonight. He looked so comfortable
now,
all night long.
I'm sorry, Jason. We don't know a whole lot about the status of Jeff Larenowitz. He was not in the 18 tonight. He was in the building. I noticed him in a suit walking off at the end of the night. Looked to be walking okay. You do get an international break and a week off. But I think Tata Martino has a little bit of confidence now that if Jeff were not able to go 2 weeks from tonight, Miles is a viable option.
Yeah, they're not going to take a full week off. I don't think anybody's leaving town.
Week off from playing.
Right. Yeah, they get 2 weeks between games, but yeah, they'll keep training and they'll start working tactically on who they face. Now, Brad Kazan, Darlington Nagbe have been called up to the U.S. men's national team. Haven't heard about any other call-ups. Joseph Martinez would be one that we would wait to see something about. Miguel Almiron, possibly.
Well, Venezuela has fixtures.
Right.
And they have fixtures next week. And we haven't heard anything about a selection, which is a little bit weird.
I have not seen a group being called into Venezuela yet.
Well, they better hurry, because I think they have a fixture coming up on Wednesday, unless there's something we aren't aware of. Now, that leads to a question from Christopher Gersel. He wants to know, what are the chances that Nagbe and Guzan turn down their call-ups to stay here in Atlanta? He says playoffs are more important than an international friendly.
That's what an Atlanta United fan would say, obviously, and it's completely understood. It's very tough to turn down the opportunity to play for your national team. And for Brad and for Darlington, they take that honor very, very seriously. I would not be surprised, and Dave Sarakin, who is the interim manager for the U.S. men's national team, basically said this during the week, that players who are still in postseason play would not make the second game of the trip. They would only play in the first game. So if it's an opportunity for Brad and or Darlington to go and play England at Wembley Stadium, that's a tough one to turn down. Then you come back for the full week. They'd be fine if that's the case.
Even if they were to play the full week, they would have 4 days to get back, get fit. And then if you're playing Columbus, you would have to travel up to Ohio. There would be a slight benefit in playing here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because you wouldn't add the additional element of travel. We'll see what happens there. I do find it somewhat befuddling. And, Columbus with a good scoring opportunity. Zardes just flicked a header wide of the back post. Still 1-0 Red Bulls there. I find it befuddling that Dave Sarakin calls up not only Nagbe and Guzan, but Stefan and Trapp. Columbus is in the playoff, but he does not call up Michael Bradley because he's worried about exhaustion. That's what he said.
Yeah.
He said Bradley was too tired.
Well, it could have been mentally as well. Bradley's had a pretty long year in Toronto. Honestly, I don't, and I've defended Michael Bradley against lots of people. I think Michael Bradley has not had a season worthy of a call-up at this stage. I don't think
I
he should have been called up earlier.
That's fair to say.
Not to say he shouldn't ever be called up, but this season he hasn't had a good year, somewhat down to the fact he's played a lot of center back, and he's not a center back.
I agree with that. The U.S. men's national team going to Europe, they have two fixtures. Well, England and Italy, right? Those are the two fixtures for the U.S. national team next week. So Nagbe and Guzan will get on the plane. They will go over to Europe. As Jason told you, we don't know about a Martinez call-up. Venezuela has fixtures. Paraguay does not have fixtures. But remember, they have been calling Almiron and Villalba into camp. And, in fact, that's where Villalba got hurt a couple weeks ago. Sean Vergara. Almiron will be missed for this team next year. I'll point out just officially he isn't going anywhere yet. Thoughts on how the match was officiated? As expected, it was very chippy, but shocked Villa did not get at least a yellow.
Yeah, I would have given him a yellow for undercutting Guzan. Decision from Geiger, that's probably the biggest decision that I disagreed with. I thought Mark Geiger handled the match really, really well. He let it breathe. It was chippy. He backed things down when he had to. Some referees would have thrown a yellow card to Brad Guzan for putting his hands to the face of Castellanos. Castellanos would have picked up a yellow from some referees for some of his histrionics. But I thought Mark Geiger handled the moment and the situation really, really well tonight.
And resisted, in my opinion, the effort of New York City, and you used a good word, histrionics. I thought early in this match, New York City was trying to buy cards from Mark Geiger. And I think you have to give Geiger a lot of credit for not falling into the trap where one side gets a little bit emotional and next thing you know, you're throwing a lot of cards.
Well, New York City also misjudged Mark Geiger. If you've watched his work and agree, disagree with calls he makes, Geiger's not a guy who is influenced by teams during the match. If anything, Geiger's the type of guy who that's going to rub him the wrong way. The thing about Geiger is he's not afraid to make a big call if he feels like it needs to be made. he's not somebody who's really swayed by the emotions of the match either way.
Right. Joey Logan says, Miles Robinson, incredible. Joseph Martinez, clinical. Almiron was amazing. And Mark Geiger, brilliant. I can't argue with that. I mean, it was a very well-officiated series, to
Absolutely.
Be honest with you. Villa got away with some stuff that might not have been apparent to the center ref that probably could have been VAR'd up in New York City. But I think for the most, I mean, if you're an Atlanta United supporter, you cannot complain at all about the officiating in this series. You got a penalty. No one was red carded. Couple misses here or there. Pretty well officiated series, all things considered.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when your biggest criticism about the way a series is called is the communication or not getting the call right initially on the Miguel Almiron goal that was brought back, and David Villa not getting yellow cards for things off the ball, that's a pretty good series if those are your two major complaints.
Brandon Felder says, what a win. Rometty avoided yellow. Atlanta finding ways to alter tactics and grind results. He asks, would this newfound style work better against Red Bulls than previous matches?
100%. If you go into Red Bull Arena and you give them close to 70% of the possession and they have to try to figure out what to do with the ball at their feet, that's a pretty good situation to be in. And as we saw here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United can play Red Bull here in this place. That game, you have to remember the emotional swings that happened in it. The Joseph Martinez goal brought back for a decision by Mark Geiger as the video assistant referee that I 100% disagreed with. Then you had a soft penalty go against you, Miles Robinson, with his hands on Bradley Wright Phillips. Wright Phillips took advantage of the situation, earns the penalty, which I thought was soft, but it's hard to argue with. Then you had the moment with Jeff Lorenowitz sent off at the beginning of the second half and then brought back, and Atlanta fell apart in about a five-minute span in the second half. Atlanta United can play the Red Bulls very difficult here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and if you play like you did tonight at Red Bull Arena in the second leg, hopefully with a lead that you get at home, you'll be just fine.
Rometty not getting a yellow is vital. It is a draconian yellow card accumulation rule in the MLS Cup playoffs where two accumulated yellows means a one-match suspension. Now, here's the important part. The yellow accumulation does not carry over to the MLS Cup final. So Atlanta United now has, let's see, Joseph, Rometty, Villalba,
Robinson
and Escobar all in the tightrope, but all they need to do is play the next match without a yellow, and then you do not need to worry about accumulation.
Not bad.
Continuing with your questions and your feedback, there is still time to get some in if you want to tweet us at MikeConti929, at Longshu, and at ATLSoccer929. Scott Moore, this was about what I expected out of our five stripes. Is it just me, or have we found our mojo again?
Looks it. Really looks it. I think they found a different mojo, to be honest, because the way they played in this series looked like a team that had been in the postseason before, looked like a team that really never lost their composure at any point in the 180 minutes, and looked like a team that can lift a trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would have said that earlier this season. This was a team that looked like it's ready to lift a trophy in December.
I tend to agree. I think it's the first time we could really confidently say that all year.
We've seen them look great this season. Yeah. But looking great in July and playing in this manner in November are two completely different things.
Well, and what was the other knock about Atlanta United this year? They've been very, very good against the middle-of-the-pack teams and the bottom-of-the-pack teams in MLS. They have not played well against the top-of-the-pack teams in the league. Well, you just won the season series, four matches against New York City, 2-0-2, and on aggregate, you're plus +3. That's pretty good. And New York City did run out of gas at the end of the year, but we talked about when Angel Herrera came back, they were playing a lot better. Herrera played tonight, subbed out. Atlanta United solved the puzzle. Ed Million, Robinson looked like he belonged. And how good does that Rometty pickup continue to look? He says in parentheses, make sure he doesn't leave the stadium with Morales still in his pocket.
Maxi Morales has been, I think, the most important player for New York City FC this season. Maxi Morales had to move out to the wing in both games due to Eric Rometty, And in the second half here, going out to the wing didn't help him at all. He started playing as a deep-lying central midfielder, almost looking like Andrea Pirlo, sitting so deep, trying to find the ball. Maxi Morales, when his touches in the match are 40, 50 yards from goal, you're doing a great job defensively, and Eric Rometty was a huge part of it.
Our buddy Nick Alifi, the garlic bread warrior, who joined us for Stoppage Time Live this past Tuesday night at Fidel and Buckhead, and we now know we'll have at least three more of those because we'll continue playing into December now. He says, if you wash any of your clothing tonight, you're a cop. That one's over my head a little bit. Can anyone help me on that?
I think there was one of our other listeners who pulled the Atlanta United hoodie out of the laundry basket because it had not been washed. Maybe regretted it at times, but the team gets the win. So, yeah, that guy cannot wash that hoodie.
No, please don't. Nathan Pugh, bring on your Columbus or your New York by the score. We don't care. This is Atlanta. We ready.
They absolutely look ready. This was the biggest win in club history. I mean, there's just really not another one, even the win at Yankee Stadium last week.
Well, and I think that's what we have kind of boiled this down to as far as is this the best two-match run Atlanta United has ever had? Maybe, maybe not. But as far as high-stakes matches are concerned, yeah. You don't have anything even remotely close to these kind of stakes in the regular season.
No, you don't. This is a whole different animal when you're playing in the postseason like this, and you know coming in, things don't go well, you're going home. And this team knows about 2019 and what 2019 could bring. They know Tata Martino will not be here. That part we know. They know there's a very good chance Miguel Almiron's not here. There could be other changes. This group that, for the most part, has been together since February of 2017, they want to go out with a trophy and put that stamp on this era of Atlanta United.
All right, here's one more from Gustavo Rodriguez, our buddy down in Argentina. Gustavo, I hope you're enjoying the Tempranillo tonight because this is a two-bottle night to celebrate what Atlanta United did.
Ooh.
It's going to be a two-bottle night for me. I can't promise I'll be in at 10 in the morning at 92.9, but anyway, well, no one wants to hear that. Atlanta United was a pickup party. We got the goals, the match, the action. We have it all. This goes on. The MBS was the hopefulness cathedral. Atlanta is a party now. Celebrations allowed.
I'm glad Gustavo mentioned the crowd. And that's something that I stressed all week was this was different than the knockout round last year. This is different than anything that's happened all season. And there's always the concern when a fan base hasn't been there before that they feel that pressure. They get a little scared. New York City talked about it all week. They said if they get a goal, they're going to make the fans scared. This crowd, from the opening minute, was into it, was loud when Atlanta United played well.
Yeah.
You heard roars. You heard a sustained roar when Atlanta United just made not even goal-scoring chances, not huge defensive plays, but great turns in the middle of the field. Darlington Nagbe earned a ton of different moments of applause from this crowd for just brilliant plays in the middle of the field. This is a very smart soccer crowd in Atlanta, Georgia, and I hope people look at it around the country. I hope people are looking at the second leg of the series at Red Bull Arena. That is not full. That stadium is not full. You had 70,000-plus here tonight. This is Soccer City USA, and the rest of the country has to understand that.
And I want to be clear, we're not trying to take a victory lap or anything like that. We're just pointing out facts right now. More than 1 million people have come to Mercedes-Benz Stadium this year to watch Atlanta United play. That does not count the 72,000 people who came here for the MLS All-Star match. If this goes all the way to the final, we're talking about 1.25 million people coming to the Benz this year to watch MLS. You have the national spotlight tonight of being the prime game on ESPN with Healy and Twellman, the prime crew. This is good for soccer in America and for rival fan bases who cannot at least acknowledge that what's happening here in Atlanta is nothing but good for the growth of MLS. I don't know what to tell you.
This is the blueprint for soccer in the United States, and it starts with the youth scene here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we talk about the young talent coming through, your George Bellows, your Andrew Carltons, your Chris Goslins, your Lagos Kungas, all started at different clubs in the Atlanta area. All of those clubs helped get them to Atlanta United's academy. All of them helped them get to professional contracts, and you're going to see more guys from the academy sign professional contracts. Alessandro Castro out of the academy this year signing an Atlanta United 2 contract. It's things like Georgia State winning the Sun Belt today over Georgia Southern. You have college soccer here that's thriving. You have the youth academies that are thriving. You have Atlanta United that's thriving. This is really where the soccer scene in the United States should continue to pick up its cues from.
No doubt. And Tyler Rice in with a very late tweet at us. The crowd was rallied tonight, quiet the first part of the second half, but picked it up. He feels it definitely helped motivate the team.
Yeah, and that first part of the second half was where New York City came into the game, and that was where everybody felt that pressure a little bit. We did. I know you could feel it in the crowd, but what was great was when Atlanta was able to step through that and get on the other side of it without conceding a goal, the crowd kept pushing this team through. Miguel Almiron able to run through rust, pain, and was able to do that because of the fans in the stands tonight.
One more point before we go to break. I think Miguel Almiron now is cementing himself with some of the legendary names in Atlanta playoff sports history. You know, we can talk about Dominique Wilkins and some of his heroics. We can talk about that 2008 Hawks team, how heroic that group was as heavy underdogs. You know, I don't want to go too deep into the Falcons because I know we have some fresh wounds on that right now, but certainly we could pick some names out there. The Braves, obviously, Greg Maddux. I mean, that goes without saying. Miguel Almiron, what he did over the last 8 days, I'm going to speculate, Jason, that maybe 60% of what he usually can be fitness-wise. This was a two-match exhibition in courage.
Guts. I mean, you look at Miguel, and you don't think he's the toughest guy in this team, but the fact he was able to just grind it out and take hits. I mean, from the opening minute last week, that's a guy with a bullseye on his back if you are in New York City. You are going to try to bring him down as much as possible, and he took his shots. But he kept getting up, and he kept carrying this team forward. And he was a threat every minute he was on the field.
For every Atlanta United clean sheet this season, Atlanta United donates $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. No clean sheet tonight, but the total remains $18,000 on the year, thanks to Brad Guzani as a playoff clean sheet and eight in the regular season. Atlanta United, by the way, the first Atlanta team to knock a New York team out of the playoffs since the Hawks. Against the Brooklyn Nets back in 2015. We will have Hawks basketball coming up in just a moment. First, one more break, and we'll wrap up the full-time report from Mercedes-Benz Stadium right after this with Atlanta United defeating New York City tonight 3-1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Minute left here on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Everything is better when Atlanta United wins. With today's win, it's another donation of $1,000 to Piedmont Healthcare Foundation. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United proud to be a Piedmont donor. We have like 15 seconds left, but at least we get to do two more matches.
Yep, 45 more minutes in New York. We'll see who Atlanta United faces in 2 weeks.
Yep, Red Bulls with a 1-0 lead on Columbus Crew. If that score holds, they will go to extra time. We will be on the air 2 weeks from tonight. Don't know who we're playing. Don't know where we'll be. We'll know all of that tomorrow morning, so tune in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Producer Jimmy Vance, engineer Eric Davis, studio producer Oren Romain. For Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. Atlanta Hawks basketball at the Lakers is next. Take it away, Holman. 3-1 Atlanta United takes care of business tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.